Welcome to the Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you'll hear audio content from Grace Point Church, located at 319 West Georgia Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina. In this episode, you will hear Pastor Ben return to his sermon series, Faith Journey, Encouragement from Joshua. This is part three. Let's listen in.
If somebody has never stood up in front of a group, no matter how large or small that group is, and poured their hearts out and do that, you don't understand. That's a tough deal. And thank you. It's beautiful. I think about that song, and it reminds us that there are times in life when things are tough. Storms come, right? Anybody in this room ever had 100% good days the whole life? Their whole life. Anybody?
Maddie.
Maddie? Yeah, okay.
Why did she cry so much?
Yeah, exactly. Tears might say something different, amen? But it's interesting to think about that even when times are tough, God is good. And we can remember that for sure. I am excited. You know why? Because we have taken a hiatus for a little while from our sermon series. But guess what? We are back in. So find your Bibles, turn them on or open them up. Either way, you need to do that. And turn to the book of Joshua. We're looking at Joshua. And when we left off last time, you'll see in just a moment. So find your way to the book of Joshua. We're looking at this message series, Faith Journey, Encouragement or Exhortation, if you will, from the book of Joshua. And life is a journey. Yeah. Faith Journey, Encouragement from Joshua. If you remember the last time we looked at things, and this is going to go here next. 1, 2, 7. What am I doing? Okay. Right, there we go. Encouragement from Joshua. First message we looked at is out of chapter number 1, and that was getting there. Remember, Joshua had just taken the mantle of the leadership. Moses would not cross the river into the promised land, and so Joshua was the person everybody's looking to now. And he had to embrace that, and he had to be willing to say, God, I am ready to embrace the direction, the journey that you have for me. And you remember he stepped across, and it was not a comfortable time for him, but he did it anyway, and he went in faith, and so began his faith journey. And then we looked at, what's going on with this? It's not working? Yeah, there it goes. All right, and so then this next message we looked at, overcoming obstacles. And we found our way to chapter number 6. We skipped a few, but we went on to chapter number 6. And what happened there? Well, you remember they approached the city of Jericho, and God said, take the city. But there was a problem, because the city was fortified with an incredibly impenetrable wall. And then God gave them specific instructions, and so by faith they followed those instructions. And you remember the story, they marched around the city, around the city, around the city. And then at the specific time when God said, they blew the trumpet and they shouted, and what happened? The walls fell flat. And we looked at the Hebrew word there, and we realized that it was more than just a tumbling down or falling over. It was literally they were pulverized, and they walked into the city. An incredible thought that God did that and gave the city to them. And so there, that's where they were. So on the heels of that, they find themselves at this next stage. And so we're looking at chapter number 7. And the message is entitled this morning, Facing Failure. Right on the heels of the greatest victory came failure. Folks, listen, can I just tell you honestly, there are times in my life where it seems like every time there's some great success, right on the heels of that success is some kind of failure. And you know what happens 99% of the time? It's because I lose sight of where the victory comes from. I lose sight of why there was victory in the first place. And then I start turning to myself and realize that, oh, guess what? Tough things happen. Amen? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at this. If you'll go to chapter number 7, we're going to begin reading. And I'm going to skip through and read some verses. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but maybe you'll follow along. In verse number 1, it says, "But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things, for Achan, the son of Carmi and son of Zabdi, son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, 'Go up and spy out the land.' And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few.' So about 3,000 men went up there from the people. And they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, 'Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, to give us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?'" So now look at where Joshua has come. From the heights of celebration at Jericho, now to the place where he's even questioning why God led him over the river to start with. It's like, "Lord, why couldn't we just stay back where we were? Why can't we just stay back in the wilderness? You know what? The manna was rough, but you know what? We made the best of it," right? "It wasn't the greatest menu around, but hey, we could make some banana bread or some banana bread or something, you know?" That was a joke. Banana bread, get it? All right, there you go. Okay. So anyway, here we are, and he finds himself here at this place. So I want you to look there with me and see what this is about. To this point, Joshua and the people have experienced nothing but victory since they crossed the Jordan. But something changes. And I'm sure Joshua was confused. I'm sure he was surprised. And you can hear in his voice as he's crying out to the Lord, he really doesn't understand. And to be honest with you, he's feeling a little bit sorry for himself. Right? Anybody ever feel sorry for themselves? Okay, I hope everybody puts your hand up, because, you know, even the toughest among us have felt sorry for themselves every now and then, right? So listen, I began to think about this, and I thought about something. You know what? Joshua wanted there to be an endless string of victories. I mean, he wanted to have an undefeated season. He wanted to have victory after victory. You know what was in his heart. He felt like, you know what? This is going to be great. God is on our side. We cannot lose. And I got to thinking about that, but you know what else I realized? I believe in my heart of hearts that God wanted the same thing for them as well. But you see, not only did God give them the possibility where victory can always be theirs and victory can always be ours, but he also left it open to where defeat is possible as well. Did you know that there are times when the choices that we make can lead to either victory or defeat? The people of Israel forgot what God said, and they turned their faces from what God had indicated and told them they needed to do. And they went about it in an interesting way. So what I want us to do is explore and learn these lessons in Joshua's journey from the defeat that they faced at Ai. The first thing I want you to notice is the ruin of the sin revealed. The ruin of the sin revealed. If you'll look with me at verse number 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11. The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. So I want you to notice the first thing that we see is that there is sin in the camp. In other words, Joshua had reminded the people, if you look back at chapter number 6 and look at verse 19, or verse 18, let's go to 18. God says, but you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. Verse 19, but all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, and then what happened? The walls came down and they entered Jericho. There was great victory, but there was a problem, right? What God had told them to keep holy, somebody decided to defy what God had said. And who is that someone? Achan decides that he is going to do what he wants to do regardless of what God said. What I want you to understand is that Achan, even though the instruction was clear, even though what God had said was absolutely laid out in stone, there was no ambiguity there whatsoever. God said gold, silver, bronze, the precious things, those are holy to the Lord. You do not take them for yourselves, right? Even though I'm giving this great victory, you must follow these instructions. And they chose, rather than to follow those, to deny it. Listen, he rationalized his sin, in my thinking, probably more than, just like we do, right? Now, has anybody here ever rationalized sin in their life? Okay. All right, I remember, I'm not going to tell on myself. Forget it. I thought maybe since Debbie's not here this morning, she's with her mom, that maybe I could tell something, but I forgot there's a video camera, so she'll be able to see it anyway. So I'm just going to hush, right? But we've all rationalized sin in our lives. And see, when God said, this is what you need to do, and they said, no, we're not going to do it, there came consequences. So the ruin of sin was realized. Listen, you would think that this is a pretty minor thing. Yeah, Achan took some stuff, and he hid it in his own belongings, and he lied about it. What's the big deal? Well, I want you to understand something. When God says, this is what you are to do, because I know what is best for you, and when we defy that, it's a big deal. And ruin is what happened. So the ruin of the sin was realized. Well, let's move on. We see the reason for the sin revealed. First of all, there's overconfidence. I love this. Look at verse number 2. Let's go back up to the first of the chapter. I told you we'd be jumping around. But Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for there are few. It's no big deal. We got this. You know, don't send everybody. Why? How different is the report? Then remember the report when they went over before the wandering of the wilderness? You remember? And they sent the spies over, and they were going, oh, we're like ants and grasshoppers, and they're giants, and we'll never get through. And God said, no, take the land. They're going, no, we can't. So it ended up they wandered around the wilderness for how long? 40 years, right? But how different is this now? I mean, they're fresh off the heels of the victory at Jericho. And now they say, oh, we've got this. Don't worry about it. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 men. We'll take care of them easily. Right? Well, I don't know about you, but that reminds me of me sometimes. I think something's happened great. God's done something good. And then I realized that, you know, wait a minute, God, you probably couldn't have handled that if I weren't around. Yeah, you know, God, I know that was a great victory for you, but aren't you blessed, Lord, you had me to be part of that. You know, I'm being facetious, but you know, sometimes our attitudes are like that, right? So in other words, God said, wait a minute. The people of Israel said, we've got this. They were overconfident. But what they forgot to remember, or what they didn't remember, is that Jericho was a great victory. But in truthfulness, what did they do in the process? Well, no, prior to that, for the victory, what part did they have in it? They followed God, but was it a great military victory? I mean, they marched around. They blew trumpets and they shouted. And God made it lay down before them. But so quickly they let it go to their heads and they said, oh, don't send everybody. We've got this. We've got this. Listen, they forgot that the battle was the Lord's. And let me tell you a secret. Not a secret, a truth. Are you ready? Any time we choose to stand in our own strength, it will always lead to defeat. Any time we think, I've got this, I don't need you, Lord. Just take another rest day, God. I got this. Anytime we do that, I'm telling you, it's by my experience, it always leads to defeat. They were overconfidence, but then what else do we see? Not only overconfidence, but we see disobedience. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, verse 11. Let's go back and look at verse 11. Here's what it says. Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Notice the failure. The failure of one man, the failure of Achan, led to the defeat of all. You know, I've studied over that a little bit. I've thought about that. I've let that kind of run through my mind some. Not just this time in preparation for this message, but just over the time. I've thought about that. Well, God, isn't that pretty harsh? I mean, Lord, because one person out of all the people decided they were going to keep some gold and silver and stuff, right? And put it in their own camp. One person, Lord, and the whole of the army was defeated and 36 men died? God, isn't that a little harsh? Don't look at me that way. Anybody else ever thought that? Okay, I'm not the only one. Huh? They got off light. Oh, I love it. They got off light. Yeah, strategically, they messed up, right? They got off light. But listen, they chased them out of the city and they went down. One man led to the defeat of all. Listen, I believe the lesson for us is clear. And listen to me closely. Child of God, church, listen. When we harbor sin in our hearts, it doesn't just affect us. Yes or no? It doesn't just affect us. Those around us suffer too. We're a family. Right? And because we're a family, when one person in the family suffers, does the whole family suffer? You better believe it. So when we harbor sin in our hearts, we are not just affecting ourselves. Boy, I got to thinking about this, and there's some times, you know, I think about my life. I try to live as a pretty decent fella. I really do. I mean, I mess up a lot, but I try to be a pretty decent guy. And I try to live a decent life. But you know, there are times when I just, James, I just, I'm just not. You know what I mean? And there are times when I think ugly things. Anybody else, you know? There are times when, you know what? The other day, I was pulling the camper, coming back from camping. And this one guy on the road, I think he bought his license at Big Lots or something. Because he was just messing with me in the right-hand lane. He knew it was just, and I got so mad.
Mad.
Road rage, yeah. I mean, I turned red in the face, and I was banging on the steering wheel, and I looked over and said, "You idiot." And then I realized, oh, no, two of these young boys were sitting right behind me in the truck.
That's what I was thinking. My son was in the back.
Your son was in the back. You are absolutely right. Yeah. And it got all over me, and I thought, I was so mad. And I realized, you know what, Lord, that was not, you know. Now, the good thing is they were, like, watching videos, and I think they didn't even notice. So,
Nah.
Wow. See what kind of church I got? Yeah. Yeah, I read it on Facebook. Where was I going with that? But listen, we mess up, right? And I realized that even that subtle little thing, that could have genuinely had an effect on your son and his friend. The preacher? Right? Everybody, listen, when we harbor sin in our hearts, but you know, I quickly repented for that, right, and moved on. But my point is this, when we harbor sin in our heart, we are not the only ones who suffer the consequence. Those around us suffer as well. And I thought about it from this perspective. That's a bad thing. So question. So then is it hopeless? Are we hopeless? What? Are we hopeless? Well, the answer is no, right? Listen, I thought of something that I've never heard this before, but it just came to me. So somebody else has probably already said it, but as far as I know, this is original. You ready? It's bad. Well, you know what Herb Hodges used to tell me? That if any man ever had an original thought, it'd be a lonely thought. So somebody's probably already thought it already. So here we go. It's bad to fall in sin, but it's worse to wallow in it. It's bad to fall into sin, but it's worse to wallow in it. It's worse to flop around and just get all, when, woe is me, I've sinned. You see, because there's always another option. There's always good news. Even when the reason for sin's revealed and it's because of our own overconfidence, it's because of our own disobedience, and we find ourselves with the beneficiaries of the consequence of our own sin, we don't have to stay there because, number three, the remedy for sin is repentance. That's supposed to be is instead of in. The remedy for sin is repentance. I got to get on the person who types my PowerPoints for me. They keep making mistakes. So, duly noted. Yes, I hear you. Okay. All right. So, first of all, the remedy for sin is repentance. Look at verse 19. We're going to move forward. You guys are listening fast. I'm very proud of you. Verse 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath." But now look at verse 25. And Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today, And all Israel stoned them with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. You see, the remedy for sin is repentance. And I began to think about that, saying, Lord, I don't like that real much. I don't like that too good. You know, because I mess up, right? And so, Lord, when I mess up and I repent, I don't want you to send people with rocks to throw them at me till I'm dead. God, I don't like that, right?
The treasure was aching to be taken.
Wow. Did y'all hear that in the back? He thought it was punny, but he said the treasure was aching to be taken. Thanks, Ron. Where was I? And I think about it from this perspective. I say, Lord, you know, I don't like that. You know, I want to repent and everything be okay. I want to repent and have, and it all just to go away, right? But see, there's a reality of life that that's not the way it works. Did you know that, well, I'm going to ask the judge here. All right? People come before you who have violated the law in some way, right? And judgment has to come. Now, of the people that you see, what would you say the percentage of people that are really, really sorry are? Or at least say they are. Probably a pretty good portion, right? Either that or they're saying it's not true.
Yeah.
The cops are lying, right? Okay. So but if they admit that they did, they're really, really sorry. How many people are found guilty of things and they're just really, really sorry? But okay, if you're really, really sorry, then good. No problem. You can just leave because you're really sorry. Is that how it works? No, what? The consequences are still there. You know, the same is true for sin. You know, we live by grace, right? It's a very different time today than it was in Joshua's time, right? Joshua, they lived by the law. Today we live by grace. It's a very different time. But listen, don't make the mistake of assuming because grace is grace that sin doesn't still carry with it consequences. Because it does. When we mess up, we mess up. And when we mess up, there are consequences that we have to face. So I began to think about it from this perspective, saying, well, Achan, my word, you know, I don't know about, he had a rock party, you know. I don't know how good that was. But listen, what I realize is this. When we kneel at the feet of Jesus, we can have forgiveness. And the reason we have forgiveness is because he's the one who paid our penalty. And when we understand that, here's what we do. The remedy for sin is repentance. And what comes with the repentance? First of all, there's confession. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord God. I've already read it. Israel, and give praise to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. Listen, there is never a time when we are faced with the reality of our sin that confession of that sin is not the best order of business. Because I want you to understand something. God had already directed Joshua and told him what the problem was. And they were already in the process of going tribe by tribe, family by family, tent by tent. They were going to find the sin, right? And who knows what the result would have been had he not come forward and confessed when he did. But the point I'm making is this. Confession is always the right thing to do. And then on the heels of confession, we have then secondly, correction. Now here's where it says, And Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. God said, in the beginning, that sin brought death, right? And because of that, it became clear in this case. And in this case, it did bring death. And I got to thinking, Lord, is that a little harsh? I mean, don't you prefer to think of God as God is love, right? Huh? And he is. But don't you want to think of peace and love and flowers and chartreuse minivans, right? God is all that. But he is love. But there's still a correction that had to take place. Listen, I got to thinking about it from this perspective. The spies said, don't send all the army. Just send 2,000 or 3,000. So of that 2,000 or 3,000, how many didn't even go? We don't know. A whole bunch. And then not just the army, but then all the people associated with the army. All the women and the children and those that weren't a fighting age, right? So how many people in the whole were there? A whole bunch. So when the correction was made, 36 people had already lost their lives simply because Achan disobeyed God. If that sin had not been revealed, and if it had not been dealt with, what would have happened the next time they went to battle? How many more would have died? How many more would have been lost? Where would it have ended? So begin to think about it. Is it really harsh? When I compare to what Jesus has done, any consequence that I face because of my sin is more than deserved. As a matter of fact, the reality is this. Like my friend back there said, normally we get off light. Amen? He said, Pastor, I don't like this message. Right? Yeah, I'd much rather bring, you know, a hallelujah. Let's all be happy and go, you know. But it's where God had us. I mean, it was the next step in the process. I want us to be reminded of this. You ready? There is never a time when we need to stop being diligent to focus our hearts and minds on Christ, on the things of God, to do the right thing, and to remember no victory ever comes in our own strength. It always comes from the Lord. You see, Joshua had to face failure. But what we'll see as we continue on our journey with Joshua is that this failure did not go unnoticed. And this failure did actually bring benefit down the road. Joshua learned from this defeat. And because he learned from this defeat, guess what? Many more victories would come. Many more victories were realized. Why? Because he faced the failure. You and I need to recognize this. Are you ready? There are some people in this room right now, I'm convinced. And the reason why I say that is because I'm in it. And some of us don't have to look very hard to realize and recognize the areas in our lives where we are disobedient. And even more than just disobedient, we're not as obedient as we ought to be, right? You know, the sin of omission, not doing what God says to do, right? There are plenty of us here that are facing that right now. And the thing we need to realize and recognize is this, is that God has given us great victory in our lives. You know, the bottom line is, you know, I got up this morning. Evidenced by the fact I'm standing here, right? I got up this morning. I was cool in a house that's air conditioned. I had a little breakfast. And I drove in a car that's paid for. And I got to a church that God's blessed me with. And I'm standing here proclaiming His word. If I ever thought that I could complain, I've had victory in my life. But do you understand something? It has nothing to do with what I have done. It has everything to do with who He is and what He's done. I understand that better now because I've had to face failure in my life. I appreciate the victories of the Lord more now because I've faced failure in my life. My prayer is that each and every one of us would take the opportunity with this message and this series to look at how faith is a journey, and journeys do not start now and end now. Journeys are a process. However long God leaves us on this earth, we're in a journey. What is it that we're going to do with that journey? My prayer is that we'll face the failures, recognize why they've come, turn back to Him, and wait for His victory to come. Because if we're obedient, it will. Can I get an amen?
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also connect with us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Snapchat. To listen to sermon audio from Pastor Ben Hill, you can go to our YouTube page or subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for listening.